Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Today's message should lead us more to Christ today. There's been a lot of going on within the church. As it is, we see turmoil in this world right now that does not know Christ. And if you've seen social media, for all my millennials out there and zillennials and baby boomers, because I know you guys are reading Facebook as well too, we've seen and heard about certain preachers taking their lives away. This has been stirring my heart for a couple months already, seeing preachers taking their lives away. And it comes to a thought that we all go through depression. We all go through a time where I don't want to live anymore. God, just take me away. But there's certain afflictions that God's going to use. And I want you to put the eyes on this context right now. I want you to see if God has me going through a certain season, I know something good is going to happen out of that. Right now, I might not see things clearly right now, but I know at the other end, in that side of the mountain, things are going to be greater for me. And you have to have that mindset whenever you're going through a tribulation. The tribulations do not determine what you're going through, but the tribulation should be a way of you to grow in that grace of God, so grace can abound more in your life. God wants to oversee your life, see your situation, and also see you through. Now, in school, I was able to graduate with the bachelor's in psychology. I didn't go all the way through the master's because it just cost so much money. But thank God for Google, YouTube, and a couple other things that helped me out the way to learn more about what depression is. And maybe today's a talk that maybe you've probably gone through it. You've been in a time, in a hole, where you felt like, I cannot get out of this place, God. Help me. And I'm letting you know today that you're not the only person going through situations. Great people such as David had to go through circumstances that God had to make him kind of go through in afflictions. But not also that. David put himself in situations as well. But at the end of the day, God still saw him through. And because of his grace, undeserved grace that he gives you. So for some that don't understand what grace looks like, God's giving you something. Here you go, son. It doesn't belong to you, but you know what? I'm going to give it to you right now, right away. He's going to give it to you regardless. And sometimes I've heard around their preachers talking about a doctrine of grace. And I told the preacher once, what do you mean by that? Well, yeah, a lot of people use grace and they abuse from it. But I imagine here at Amazing Grace, none of that's happening, right? I hope that's not happening here at this place. So deliver me from me, God. Deliver me. Before I get to the key verse, I want to just go over with some thoughts about this and let you know what suicidal thoughts are and depression is if you don't have that in mind. I just want to go, can I go over that for a little bit with you guys? So suicidal thoughts have numerous causes. According to Mayo Clinic, most often suicidal thoughts are the result of a feeling like you can't cope when you're faced with what seems to be an overwhelming life situation. If you don't have hope for the future, you may mistakenly think suicide is a solution. You may experience a sort of tunnel vision where in the middle of a crisis, you believe suicide is the only way out. This should not be a taboo, people. We've seen it before. We have to talk about these things in church, because if we don't talk about it, then the next person can be the left person, the right person next to you. And I'm not declaring nothing, so don't think about that. I'm just saying the reality of things within church, what's happening now. The church needs to know these things. But let me tell you this. In Romans 15, 13 says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There's still hope if you feel like your life is maybe at the lowest point of your life. God is not done with you. If he started a good work, he's going to what? He's going to finish it. So you got to believe on that. You cannot be walking around with your head down. You're a king. You're a queen of the Almighty. And God loves you so much that he had to send his only son, Jesus, to save you from yourself. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. And I want to continue here with this. When you have a situation in your life that you cannot handle anymore, God says to me, give me all your cares, not just a few. When you give all your cares, you're taking everything that you're going through right now at this moment, and you're saying to God, God, I cannot do it on my own. I need something else. I need a redeemer. I need a savior to come right now to my rescue and tell me that everything's gonna be okay. So we move on. As it turns out, suicidal thoughts are not uncommon. Nearly 8.3 million adults, and hear me out, young adults, age 18 and older in the United States, that's a 3.7%, has serious thoughts of suicide in the past year. And this is statistics that I pulled out recently, 2019. According to a study called Suicidal Thoughts and Behaviors Among Adults, 18 years released by the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. Although some suicides are impulsive, most are planned out. More than 2 million adults in America has made a suicide plan in the past year, and about half that many went through with the plan. How many are going to continue taking their lives away? It's a serious thing. You're not exempt from pain. When you accepted Jesus Christ, it didn't say that we're not going to be touched. If God had his son, Job, go through the test, that doesn't exempt you as well. You're going to go through tribulations, but it's what you do with those tribulations that's going to lead you closer to God. So we continue. Again, suicide starts with the thought. Indeed, every action we take starts with the thought. As one who struggled with depression for years, I'm not trying to oversimplify the solution, but rather merely point out one contributing factor. Many of the harmful actions we take originate from the seed. I want you to close out right now and listen to this. The seed of a thought Satan whispers to our souls. It's a seed. It's planted. So God comes and whispers to your ear, you're not good enough. God's not going to see you through. Look at you right now. He hasn't come to this point right now. What does it mean in the next couple of weeks? What's going to happen to you? You think he's going to help you out right now? It's a whisper. It starts out that way. The seed grows as our minds reason out the benefits of acting out the thought. You meddle with it, you play with it, you get yourself in a situation. For those contemplating suicide, I believe the seed grows in their minds as they reason themselves out of living because life circumstances are too overwhelming. Only God can take life away. Don't take your life away. God gave life so you can have eternal life. Think about that. So when you give birth to sin, and it says in James 1:15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, I'm not saying, and I want to be careful how I say this. Not everybody's probably going through a sin. You're just going through a rough patch in your life. You did not have to go do something in order to be in a situation. Because most of the times, probably you put yourself in that situation. But sometimes, because of the issues of life, when you put yourself in a position where you can't move any more forward, or you're going through a situation that you cannot handle, it doesn't mean that God is against you. That's just life itself. But what you do with that situation, that's where God wants to put you through. He wants to pull you through out of that place so you can come into the heavenly place. Some of the things that you're going through are very darkened sometimes. So you meddle with it and you play with that idea, then something's going to happen. It all starts in the mind. It's a battlefield. God cannot touch you. I mean, the devil cannot touch you with your heart because the spirit is dwelling in you now. But he can come through the mind and set you up for something. Now, it's what you do with that that's going to make the difference. When you give place to the enemy, or how they say out there, and the devil is a copycat, he's like a devourer. He's like a lion out and prowling just to find just one inch. If you give him, he will eat you up. If you open up your book on 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 9, here is a secret. Submit to God and resist the devil. Likewise, you younger people, and I'm talking to the younger generation, those that hear me out right now, but also those who are in this generation and the past generation. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Respect. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I love 9. This is the goal for you right here. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So resist him, because if you resist the enemy, he will flee away. Because you know the Almighty God is with you, and Christ has saved you and has covered you with his blood. I want to continue moving forward with our stats. It says that there is no lack of statistics about pastors. I want to make a pause here. Are you praying for your pastor? There's burdens that ministers carry. There's burdens, and it makes it tough. And it's not easy being in up a pulpit here and having to listen to all the cares about everybody, and yet you still have to deal with your personal life. So it says this, and depressions, burnout, our pastor's health, low pay, spirituality, relationships, and longevity, and none of them are good. According to the Schaefer Institute, it says that 70% of pastors constantly fight depression, and 71% are burned out. So what does it mean that we have to pray for our pastor? I can't make no more emphasis on that. We need to pray for our ministers, our leaders. Make sure that they got the protection. So meanwhile, 70%, 72% of pastors say, this is where I'm going to come to my point in a few minutes. 72% of pastors say they only study the Bible when they are preparing for sermons. So what does it mean? What's happening the rest of the time then? What's happening? Are they in the Word, like pastor says? Are they rooted in it? 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. And 70% say they don't have a close friend. And it's a reality that I've seen personally. My parents were pastors too. They've gone through situations. My friends are pastors. They tell me the issues that they go through within church. And he tells me that it's not easy taking care of a flock, Josh. It's not. And it's the flock's job to be praying for the ministers, to uplifting them in the name of Jesus. So if we continue on this, and there's a reason why I want you to grasp this right now. Why these statistics? Why? So the Schaefer Institute also reports that 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates will leave the ministry within 5 years. It's not clear how many commit suicide, but it's clear that pastors are not immune to it. And that means you're not immune to it as well. Psychologists point out to several reasons why people commit suicide, from depression into psychosis to stressful life situations. But one thing is certain, whatever drives someone to take their own life ultimately begins in the mind. We talked about the what? The seed. The enemy comes and whispers. It starts with an idea. You start playing with it, you start meddling with it, it's going to be birthed into sin. Suicidal thoughts precede suicide. It became an idea, and then it became real. So whatever you speak into your life, if it's being life or death, that's what you're going to have. But as Christian folks, we have the word in us. So we speak life to ourselves. Sometimes in a situation that you're going through, you're going to have to speak truth to yourself. God, I cannot do this, but your word says in Philippians 14:13, I can do all things in God in Christ. All things. Not just one thing, but all things in him who strengthens me. And I'm not going to be up here and tell you that it's going to just be okay. No, it's not going to be okay all the time. But I can tell you that God's going to push you through. He's going to make you go through a situation, but he's going to take you out of that situation as well, because he wants you to grow. He cares for you. We are his sons and daughters. And I go into my key scripture. It says this, and I want to do some expository word today. It says, save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I'm in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. How many have you felt where you felt the water was up to your neck, like this guy right here? How many been through that? I might have to see all hands, because, I mean, you must be some perfect beings in this place. I want to get to know you. We've all gone through a situation like this, man. And I like to be visual. I like to show pictures. And where I go to work at, I always show pictures so you can put something and see it, because you grasp a better notion of it. And you can see that, wow, I'm not the only person. Someone else has been in those footsteps. And those footsteps led them to a different place in a different season. So whatever season you're going through right now and you feel that God is not with you, don't let the enemy tell you otherwise like that. He's whispering. So don't give a place to the enemy to tell you that you're not worth it. Because God, you are all worth it. And Jesus says so, that his word's going to be with you and it's walking within you. So you got to say that when you're in a situation, God is pulling you through. God is working with you. So deeper and deeper I sink into mire. I can't find a foothold, and I'm in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. Imagine how many times you've been in a situation being so parched because you were crying out loud to God and you felt that he wasn't listening to you. Let me tell you right now, just because he has not answered your prayer, it does not mean he's going to answer it in the future. God is working with that prayer. It's going to come to pass. Maybe you have 3, 4, 5 prayers that you've been giving to God and you have not heard one of them. But let me tell you that in due time, God's going to answer. God's going to come through and let you know that you're no longer alone, that I've been walking with you through the darkness. But God's going to shed light in every single situation that you've gone through. He's going to say, I was here. I was that rock walking with you. We continue on. It says, Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs on my head. How many have haters in this place? I think we all have haters in this place. Or like my generation said, you've been drinking too much of the Haterade juice. It's not Gatorade, but it's Haterade juice. Many enemies try to destroy me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal. How many can situate themselves in this position just like David did? Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Don't let those who trust in you be ashamed because of me. It took me a while to understand this, and what I got out of this, and listen to me in this part right here. Oh God, you know how foolish I am. I'm talking about myself right now. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Don't let those who trust in you be ashamed because of me. I imagine what David was going through at that very moment. And probably you put yourself in a situation, God, I don't want to be a stumbling rock for somebody else because of me, because of my shame. Even in the pain and even in the situation, we can see how David was still exalting God, making himself less. The world teaches you this, that you're greater, you're more than a conqueror. I mean, obviously they're using God's word right there. But they're saying that you can do it. You're auto-sufficient. But God's saying, and this man is leveling himself and making himself lower so God can grow more. And he's saying to God, God, I'm nothing without you. Because of me, all these situations that I've gone through, maybe the people that are hating on me, it's because of me. And sometimes you're probably going through some words in your mind. You say, it's because I did it. It's because it was my fault. I was the one who let that person do that. Don't let those who trust in you be ashamed because of me. Oh, sovereign Lord of heaven armies, don't let me cause them to be humiliated. Oh, God of Israel. Man, pain, and yet still asking God with a humble heart. And that's what God wants from me from the scripture. He needs a humble heart. When you come to God open, God enables you. God opens you. God gives you grace. Let's continue moving forward here. For I endure insults for your sake. Humiliation is written all over my face. Even my own brothers pretend they don't know me. Come on. My brother doesn't know who I am. They treat me like a stranger. Passion for your house has consumed me. Wow, this man. This is the man that was righteous, but also a man who committed sins, just like you and me. And yet he still was shouting out to God, even in his infirmity, and even in the situation, turmoil that he was going through, God still showed his grace and his favor on you. That's the way grace works. It's not so much what you do for him, because automatically the blessings, when you unlock them and you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, they all come through. You don't have to do nothing at all. Automatically, you receive these things. But because of God's grace, even in the situation of David, he demonstrated himself with love. And even David himself showed compassion to the people of Israel. So what does that mean? That we should also show compassion to people. The world does not know Christ. Don't take it against them. The enemy comes and he wants to confuse you. It's a battle with the flesh and the spirit. We have a battle not with flesh, but with what? But with the principalities out in this world. You got to stop looking at man as the problem. It's the enemy working. And once you get that straight, trust me, you're going to start having more compassion for people and love. And you want them to know how Christ can change their lives too. That's the way compassion and grace work, just like David showed himself in this place right here. Passion for your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I weep and fast, they scoff at me. When I dress in burlap to show sorrow, they make fun of me. I guess back in the days, in the Jewish, they used to dress and clothe themselves to show what they were going through. And people will make fun of me. How many times have you told somebody a situation? They use that information and they throw it back at your face. You have to be careful. Who are you talking to right now? Who is your circle? Who is your friends? Are they going to uplift you or are they going to bring you down? Come on, let's get real for a moment right now. When I dress in burlap to show sorrow, they make fun of me. When I express or tell people how I feel, God, they throw it back in my face again. I know I've been in that situation many times with people. And I felt like, God, why am I throwing my best pearls to these people? Why am I throwing my pearls, and the word says, to these pigs? Don't throw your words sometimes. There comes a place in your life where you're going to have to say, you know what, God, take care of them. I'm done here. There's certain battles and certain situations you cannot win. Only God can win those for you. And when you start learning and leaning, that's the key thing. When you lean and cast all your cares to him, that's when you start learning how to live. Let's continue. Those who sit at the gate mock me. Man, David was going through so many situations. It looks like he goes from one place to another place and to another place, and things don't seem to change. And I am at the song of the drunkards. People were singing songs about him, of how depressed he was. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, oh God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. People are going to hate you. Who cares about what they say? You know this old term that used to say, sticks and stones. My what? But that was a hurt me. Now, the world says it. No, words do hurt. Words do hurt. Don't say that. Don't say that to them. Well, we're in Christ, so it doesn't matter. Because we're going to receive hate regardless. If Jesus said that we were going to go through pain we were going to receive too. But that pain, I love the way always God refers this way. And he speaks to us. Although you're going through pain, I'm going to show you favor. I'm going to show you grace. See, God's not going to leave you empty-handed. He's going with you, walking with you, pace by pace. So what does that mean? That God never leaves your sight. Man, thank you, Jesus. It says this, do not let the floodwaters engulf me or the depths swallow me up or the pit close its mouth over me. How many are you going through a pit in your life right now? How many of you have gone through a situation where I'm just done with it? You probably contemplated about it. Maybe you're not in that situation of suicide, but you've have maybe had ideas of just giving up. And just giving up itself in life. Like, what for? Why do I continue? You're human, yes. And we still live in a body that sins. But that doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. Again, this man was fighting himself alone. But did he take his life away? No. He endured it. He went through the fire. And there's a crown for those who endure. A crown when we get to heaven one day. You're going to receive your mansion. You're going to receive the blessings and the richness of him one day. If you endure in the brave, and only the brave shall what? Inherit what? The kingdom of heaven. So if you endure and you get to that point in your life where that crown's going to be received, I can't wait for that day. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. May the table set before them become a snare. Changes here a little bit. Now, let's not take this very lightly here. There's something in the middle of all of this. May the table set before them become a snare, may become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents, for they persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Ouch. Now, we can take this two ways. You can say this is retaliation, or you can say that he's being mean. But in reality, if you see David here, he learned something here. Whenever someone has done some wrong to you, what he's practicing here is, God, you take care of them. I'm not going to work with that out. It's not for you to be in the middle of that situation. This is why so many people still do not understand how God works. Because if they knew how God works, they would not be in a situation of killing themselves. If they knew the word, they don't know how to work. They don't know how to live by the word, a conduct of God. And they won't be easily going away in the drift what the world is telling them, that it's okay to take your life away. He had no way out. And the world is teaching our kids and telling them that, hey, if maybe he took his life away, but that was the best thing for him to do. And we're listening to folks telling us and dictate how we should live. And we have preachers, ministers, taking their lives away, which is not right. It's not right. And it's been bugging me for the past year because I've been seeing social media talking about, you know, talk to somebody, find a way. It's kind of like softening death now, that it's okay to take your life away. When it's not okay to take your life away, if someone asks and says, I'm going to say it to you right now, it's not okay. It doesn't work that way. God is the only person who can take your life away. And if he decides so that you had to go that because he knew what you were going to do was something maybe stupid, and probably he put you in a position, you know what, son, I don't want you to go through that before you start shaming me. And what happens here, if we start shaming the word of God, because we're taking our lives away and people are going to be seeing, look at this man of God took his life away. And the enemy just drives on that. He's seeing how weak folk Christians are, and they're not seeing the way it's supposed to be seen. We're supposed to be a light. We need to be the salt. The world's changing the church, not the other way around. So what are you doing today? Is it going to affect the next generation? Is it going to bring hearts to Christ? Or is it going to spoil people and make them bitter? God cannot transform hearts if they're not susceptible to his word. That word is you. You need to come with life to them. If death has been spewed all over them, and just the only thing that they heard was death, then death is going to be. And that seed has grown so much because they've been hearing it, and it's okay. And the enemy's been telling him. So they're battling with the flesh, and they're battling with the enemy. So you got two things against you right now. Imagine what someone who doesn't know about Christ is what they're going through. So you got to start thinking about those who are going through pain, because tomorrow might not be the next day for them. They're going to wake up to death. Or they're going to wake up with a knife, or they're going to be hanged. Because nobody talked about the love of Christ to them. And I feel for those, because those are the ones who are going to be damned into hell forever. Are you the change? Are you going to start standing up for the word of God and start declaring his goodness to people with love? See, the world has tapped us Christians now. Is that we're anti-phobes, we're anti-this, anti-that. And what's happening here with the church folks, they're afraid to speak truth now. And their voices are being shut down by the enemy. And people are afraid to say the word of God to people because I'm going to offend them. But they've been offending us all this time. The word's going to offend. It's going to point out. Remember this. The word of God is like a double-edged sword. It's going to penetrate. So what does it mean? It has to hurt. The word has to hurt, because when it hurts, what happens next? Change happens, because you know you're not going to put yourself in a situation like that because you've learned from that situation. It's like a child. Man, I can relate to this. When I was a kid, I used to love putting my finger in the wrong place and get snapped at. Or maybe I like the jolt of electricity, so I used to get the fork and put it in there and get the nice little buzz sound to it. But you learn from that situation. Kids learn. Sometimes you have to let your kid be free. And I'm going to be in that situation where I'm going to be a father pretty soon. And I'm going to be careful of him. But sometimes as a father, I think God puts it this way. He's going to put you in a situation so you can learn. Because it's the life situations that you grow from. And that growth is going to continue growing on top of the next one. Because you know that God is with you. And I love, and I can see the reflection of a father and two son. God sees you with so much mercy and with so much love that he's never going to let you go, even though you're going through affliction. So if that's you this morning and you feel like you're going through afflictions, let me let you know that God is still with you. And he continues on, David, charge him with the crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. I feel like this is like a novella right here. David's going through his soap opera right now. And then the next thing happens, may they be brought out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. Uh-uh, not them. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. You see this? Even though he was going through a situation, David knew what he had to do. He had to praise him. And he gave him glory with thanksgiving, even in the situation. So what does that tell you? What does it tell the world? That the situation is not greater. That God is greater than the situation. See, when you start changing your vision, that the issue is not the problem. The issue is that the Christians are not making God great in their life. And their problem consumes them so much that they cannot walk through anymore. It should be the other way around. God should be greater than your problem. It should be greater. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him in thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with his horns and hooves. So right here, as you many don't know, God was probably right here telling me, give him the best. So when you give a sacrifice, you come up to God with the best, don't he? But right here is God is that he's pleased when you have obedience. And your best worship is your obedience to him at the end of the day. You were obedient to come to this point, to this part of your life so far, and you've listened to him. And you're not let and sway yourself away from what the world is telling you. So the poor will see and be glad you who seek God. May your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there too. Glory to his name. I want to make a little more emphasis in this part right here. I want to talk about, and I talked about a little while ago, about the seed. Thank you, Jesus. So, when we go to a garden, the first thing that you do is that you have to prepare the soil. You have to mix it, make sure that it's good enough. And you start adding some minerals, some vitamins into that. Then you get what you call is the seed. From that seed, something is going to grow out of that. It can be a flower. It could be anything. But the point here is this. When you settle yourselves as Christian folks, when you settle yourself on good ground, when you put yourself in a place that's not tainted, because God cannot touch a place that's been tainted already. He's a holy God, and he goes and moves in holy places. So the people of God need to be that place, that ground where people can come. Those are the seeds that are going to be planted in your garden. So if that garden is going to grow, what does that mean? That you're going to have to be that type of fertilizer that's going to be giving out those words, those vitamins, those minerals that are going to help that person grow to be that great person in Christ. So I cannot step in one place if it's not ready. It's only going to bring issues out of that place. And God's going to give you something, and I'm speaking to you right now. God's going to give you something greater. But in order for you to get to that great place, you need to start here with the soil. That seed's going to grow. It's going to be something great. So when you start living, but living, that's the key thing right here. When you start living in this truth, it starts growing. It starts growing more roots. You as a Christian, when every person or anybody's going to come into your place, into your ground, you have to be ready, stern. The dirt has to be prepared. You prepare yourself with the Word of God. You get into growing with Him, speaking one-on-one. You grow with Him in coming to fasting with God. The only way you become a strong Christian is when you start living in His Word daily. I cannot stress that out enough. And I finish with this. This man, this minister, and the past ministers who have taken their life away. I don't know where they were at their life. I don't know how well they knew the Word. I don't know if the Word was in them, or maybe they were just preaching Word from the Bible. Because God can use anybody. Doesn't mean they're saved. It doesn't mean they're saved. Now, my question to you today is this. Are you truly saved? And I like to say this because God likes to test us. And Paul talks about this, the renewing of the mind. Test all things. Test yourself. This is not about bringing doubt to your heart right now. No. This is about to truly sink in what God has done for your life. Am I God? Am I really living in these end times for Him? Am I really seeking Him the way it's supposed to be seeked? Am I truly living for Christ all out in worship today? You know, I see faces sometimes and I see people worshiping, and this is not for the church here, but I've seen places where they come with the face, a long face, and I'm like, do they truly know who God is? Do they know their God? Are they smiling for Him? Are they worshiping Him throughout the whole week? That they know that when they come through these doors, they're ready to worship Him? My other question to you is this. Is God your everything? That He's enough to give you life? That there is no way out, and the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ Himself. That's the only way. That's our only merit. That's what's going to get us to heaven. I want to make sure that I'm that person, that individual, that when I come to heaven and God can tell me, you've honored me. You did the good fight. You did the great work. I don't want to go empty-handed to God. And if you have an unsettled heart this morning, I want to open this pulpit right now, this altar right now. If you have an unsettled heart that you feel that you've maybe probably felt like you've not been enough or not great or you have not done anything to please God or anything, I want you to come to this place in this altar right now to ask God for His divine appointment and His anointing to touch you today. Let Him touch you. Let Him be the one to encounter you. And if you not have that encounter with Him, I really implore you to come at this place right now. I want to ask the worship team right now to come to this place. I want to open this altar right now to start praising Him. But I want you to praise Him differently today. I want you to praise Him with thanks because of the life that God has given you. So everybody jointly, can we all just stand up? Can we all just stand up in this place?
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.